When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, it is the Red Men Podcast, the penultimate Red Men Podcast of the season. Next week we'll be kind of wrapping things up and looking ahead to the summer. How we will feel on that podcast will be determined.
Fantastic, we're going to feel fantastic.
Almost entirely about what happens in the coming days. Yes, I'm Paul Machin, Steve Hall, Chris Pajak, the dream team in the studio once again. And we're going to be doing a Champions League themed draft show after this as well. So it's Palace week on Red Men and it's Steve, so we've got to get in the... get into the groove.
I'm looking forward to it. The issue I've got is that I know Key's first pick.
Am I?
Yeah, and that really bothers me.
Oh.
Because we agreed who knows wins, and that's spoiler alert, we're going to speak to Reece in a minute. Chris beat me this week.
Yes!
So he's won the Steven Gerrard shootout, effectively, and that tends to be a big way. The difference is, in this one, can I give it away what we're doing?
So, yes, go on.
We're going to be picking a team of any player who's played and won a European Cup final for Liverpool. So they had to play in the final that Liverpool won. So basically it's the best players of Liverpool have ever had, essentially. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be, usually at the end you're picking like not so good players. There's going to be 22 amazing players and there's probably going to be five or six who don't even make the squad. You are just like, how has he not been picked? Where'd he be? Some of the best players Liverpool have ever had. I think it's going to be a battle of like, it's going to be just, yeah, two amazing teams, 22 of the best footballers we've ever had. It's a different challenge. Yeah. Usually the drafts are the other way around, where you're like, you're scraping barrels a little bit this time. You've got the cream of the crop.
It's the kind of one where one misstep could ruin your entire thing in the same kind of way. If you get someone who just isn't quite, you go, maybe try to, I mean, I can't imagine anyone's going to try to be overly tactical on this one.
Absolutely.
He says, staring intently into the eyes of Chris
Pajak. I do think I've got one advantage, spoiler alert. People, if you haven't gone back and watched it, obviously, Jamie Carragher's podcast on Red Men Plus now, yeah. And you literally sat next to him and told him you're going to have to pick him.
Yeah.
So that's
I lied to his face. It's fine.
Okay.
Are you lying to Jamie Carragher?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to tell Jamie Carragher you're lying to him.
You can tell him. He's going to find out for himself when he watches it on Red Men Plus.
Yeah. It's Paris week. It's Paris week here on Red Men. We've got a whole host of things coming up for you. Obviously, we've got this podcast, which is very, very, very Champions League themed, of course, but we did a Champions League preview special podcast, a version of this, me, Chris, and Jamie Carragher, which is streaming exclusively right now on Red Men Plus. We've got some of that to come up for you guys later on in the show. There's a debate show special to come as well. Steve spoke to Phil Thompson about Paris 81. That's to come. I think that's coming out tomorrow on Plus as well. We've also potentially got one more lined up, but I'm kind of sweating on the details on that, so I won't reveal that just yet. But there's loads and loads and loads of stuff to keep you occupied on video and, of course, in podcast over on redmenplus.com. Right, dive into this particular podcast. If you are watching us live on YouTube, don't forget you can use the live chat if you're after the fact or you're listening on podcasting services. Drop us a 5-star review, it always helps. The kickoff question comes from Tripod.
He's changed his name.
Tripod.
Tripod, not Tripod.
Was it Quadpod?
It was Quadpod and now he's Tripod.
Well, no, I've heard something about him, so I've said Tripod. he's a club legend and he said, Real Madrid obviously is the culmination of our revenge tour on Saturday. If you could pick any opposing team from your lifetime of Liverpool fandom, don't have to be Euro Giants, to take revenge on and beat in a big final, who would it be and why? Just a note that mine is that god-awful scruffy Wimbledon team from 88. I still have a grumble about it to this day.
Manchester United, Cantona's Manchester United from 1996. I mean, he was just a twat. He came back after all that stuff that was going on and he managed to somehow beat us. Plus, it would end like the white suits thing and all that as well.
Oh my God, imagine how in high in esteem they would be held if Liverpool won in them suits.
I might have got married in a white
yeah,
suit.
Yeah, like, it would have become absolutely iconic in a positive sense. Instead of like, I think who was it who gave it? Did Stan Collymore give his to Harvey from So Solid Clue or whatever? Like, that, they'd be like in museums, they would be worth more than anything else.
Michael Thomas said to us, didn't he, when we interviewed him before the FA Cup, he said, you have still got my, like, in the wardrobe. And I was like, yeah, he'd be wearing it out every week.
They always say like it comes back around, but that suit is not coming back around. Not in Liverpool. Never.
Absolutely.
No chance.
It's hard to argue because I'm looking since then of people who have beat us in finals, stuff like Chelsea, obviously in the FA Cup final, but we literally got revenge on them about a week and a half ago. It took a long time to do it. So I'm fully agreeing with Chris. Like that United side, we never really got it. By the time we beat them in a final, it was 2003, and it was an entirely different set of circumstances with both sets of players. So that's probably the one for me. I'd go with that one.
I probably felt ultimately for mine karmically it all balanced out, but Athens 2007, AC Milan, the fact that we beat them with the worst team.
And then when we were the better team,
and
we
then
lost.
Battered them and got beat. You know, it had a night. You know, in terms of how football goes, it kind of worked out, but there'll be something to... Just going and having...
Well, let's just beat Carlo this year.
Yeah. No, it's all part and parcel of the whole thing. I think,
I was about to say the answer is actually Real Madrid.
Yeah.
But I'd want Sergio Ramos playing and Ronaldo playing. I'd want that team against us again.
I just want Sergio Ramos playing. I'm not asked about Ronaldo.
And Bale as well. And have a proper goalie in our goal. And then...
Gareth Bale even... Does he still play for Real?
Well, he's He plays golf. He plays golf in Madrid.
Oh yeah,
he doesn't play. Yeah, that's about it. He missed their title celebrations with a bad back.
He's probably playing golf
potentially. So yeah, he's in Madrid and he's contracted to them. He's technically available for this final at the weekend. But yeah, I'd want Mo Salah against that Real Madrid side to get revenge as well.
Yeah, let us know some answers to that if you're watching us live. We have had Sean Hughes. Welcome. We're going to welcome as Wonder Kid as a member here on YouTube. Welcome aboard, Sean Hughes. And we've had a comment in here actually, which is really nice, from Jared Kelly. Says the podcast with Jamie was boss. That got released at 8 o'clock this morning, so that's very, it's very good work there to get in on that one. Yeah, that is it. I say that's streaming exclusively in video and in podcast form over
Red Man Plus podcast and Cocoa Pops.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah. I listen to podcasts while I have my breakfast, though.
Do you?
Yeah, all the time. Because like, the kids are like running around and annoying me. And
I like the idea of just like slipping it under. There's this peaceful zen coming
over. No, so
like...
it's the AirPods and I have one in so I can hear that my kids aren't like in serious
bed
trouble.
In your house, though.
Yeah, but also I'm listening to a podcast. I am. That's my go-to move, so I'm very much like Jay. I actually listened to it having my breakfast this morning.
Did you have breakfast?
I had Weetabix.
Nice. Sugar? How many?
Honey, two.
Honey,
yeah,
nice.
Two's I was drugged. Two is like the healthy amount of Weetabix to eat, isn't it? But like two's not enough.
Weetabix, oh, I was talking about how many spoonfuls of sugar. Just two Weetabix.
Something
like you going all day.
If you put it in the microwave and it doesn't crystallise, you've not put enough sugar in. That's my rule of thumb on Weetabix.
Yeah, as you can tell, I
was thinking I'm
a prime athlete compared to you. That's
right, we've got this week's sponsor, Who Knows Wins. We've got Reese, as always, on the line once I find the right headphone to put in.
Same.
Reese, hello. Looking very dapper.
I was going to say, you've been delivering some milk tray, my mate.
I was going to say, it's a face, it's not a suit, you know?
Yeah.
No, I think he looks like a vampire.
Yeah, good morning, gents. How are we doing?
Fine, mate.
Let's scare past that one, then.
Right, so, Reese, before we dive into it, obviously we're going to do last week's results and we'll look ahead to this week, but just up top, a slight change to what we're going to be doing this week. Do you just want to talk everyone through it?
Yeah, so obviously it's a bit of a deviation from the norm with the Premier League finishing last weekend, so with us involved this weekend, we're going to be doing a league just for the Champions League final.
Get
so
it.
It's 8 legs of the league instead of 10, so there'll be all sort of different permutations within the 90 minutes. So these questions, the yes no questions, they'll be within the 90 minutes. Anything beyond the extra time won't count. So do you want me to run through them quickly now?
No. Well, just so people get a headline thing, there's a little bit of change. We'll do last week's results and then we'll come on to the specifics of it, of course, just so we got that clear up front. It was a nice end to our Premier League campaign?
Say it's not, though, mate, because
you're bottom.
To an extent, yeah, but also, like, this week it felt like six was a bad score.
Where's the cap?
Because...
Yeah.
Oh, I've hidden it.
You've hidden the cap?
No, I haven't. I've got no idea where the hat is. We'll find the hat later. But yeah, I will wear the hat at some point. It felt like six was a bad score this week, because I know recently going into it, like, a lot of people seem to get high scores, and so I was quite happy when I saw I got six, and then looked at all our names, and I was bottom. Now, someone's done me a disservice there.
By bottom of the pile.
Well, because T comes after S.
Yeah.
Yet Tom has ended up in...
Tom got seven, apparently.
Okay, then Tom has been diddled then. Fair enough, then. I can't argue.
So you're bottom. Yeah. So you're unequivocally bottom.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm joint bottom with Charlie and Ross. That's my whole department at work. Maybe I'm starting to rub off on them a little bit as well. Like my crapness at this game. I'll be honest, though. I went heart overhead this time. I had us winning. I had City not winning. I had Everton getting relegated. And none of those things happened.
Yeah. What was your tactic, Chris? Did you go with what you said you were gonna? Weren't you just gonna back what we wanted to happen?
No, that was Ross who said that.
And me.
I just went for City win, Liverpool win, and went down that way. How did you go?
I did the same. Yeah. I went. Yeah.
It was Ross who did the podcast with us last week.
Ultimately.
You know what? Enjoy your 7 points going against Liverpool. You traitors.
Still on
the pill
to win.
No, I'm joking. It's fine.
So in your face.
Yeah. Karma.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, you imagine now.
Loser.
Yeah. I feel doubly as bad, though. not only did we lose the league title, I also lost this game.
Yeah.
Shame on
there
me.
There you go. Okay, then let us go through what's going to be happening next week. Well, hopefully someone upstairs squirrels around trying to find the hat. Do you want to, we can get it up. Do you want to talk through what the crack is for this week?
Yeah, guys, so it'll be the 90 minutes, the full-time result at 90 minutes. So if it's 0-0, it'll be a draw. Obviously, you can guess the rest. Both teams score within 90 minutes, over 2.5 goals. So if it's 2, it's under, or it's no, or yes, over 2.5 goals, that's 3. First half result, Real over 2.5 cards, Liverpool over 1.5 cards, Real over 4.5 corners, and Liverpool over 5.5 corners, and that is a 5,000 prize pot. Yeah,
I'm going to level with you, Reese. I'm finding this more intimidating than normal. So, do you want to give us a little bit of like a tip on how you think we should be going on this?
I think it's the betting lines, but also it's the final. So you've got to think like. It's a final, so the teams are going to be hesitant. Do you really think that there's going to be both teams scoring? You've got to think of that sort of thing. Is going to be cagey? I'm not sure. I feel a bit more nervous because it's Real. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If it had been City, I think we've played them twice, three times a season in the FA Cup. But with Real, what happened in 2018, I think we'll be a bit tentative. Do you feel the same?
No, I think this game's going to be mad as a box of frogs. I think there's going to be loads of goals in this game and loads of cards for Real Madrid and not many corners for them.
I am going to go. 1-0 extra time win incoming.
Yeah. I said 2-1 after extra time. That's my prediction on the other day. That means I've got to go under on the goals and stuff, doesn't it? Because after extra time, I will go over on both teams' cards. Definitely. Finals, tactical fouls, people are knackered just throwing up the last bit. You know, at the end of finals, you tend to people be happy to take a booking, a time wasting booking or a kicking someone booking. It's the corners one that I've got no idea.
Like, corners are mad. You can either have 20 in a game or 2.
Yeah, it's
like,
crazy.
I never put like a bet on at the bookies with corners because it's just so hard.
What's interesting on this one, Reese, is like 76% of people have got Liverpool to have over 5.5 corners, so majority of people think that. But then on the Madrid one, it's like almost 50, it's 52-48%. Like no one's got a clue if Madrid are going to get 5 corners or not, which is completely understandable. I think their game plan is they're going to be very passive and then just try and hit it in moments. So I think I might go under in that one. But yeah, that's it.
But if you look at Real, like in the Chelsea and City games, they come alive in extra time. So yeah. They come alive late on in games. So I wonder whether that's fed into that a little bit.
Mm. No, yeah, it makes sense.
It's a tough one. It can literally just go either way. You can't.
But 5 grand for 8. It's, I mean, so you've got to get two less than normal, mm-hmm. and you get a £5,000 prize pot for it. So,
yeah,
you know, imagine I won this week. So after ridiculed all season, and then just whack at the end, like a Karen Benzema in the injury time against City. Just
it does feel a little bit more like you're going on like the hope and magic than actual form, though.
It absolutely does.
Yeah,
I can't argue with that.
Okay. He's open for an Istanbul here, right?
An Everton.
Yeah. What?
Shite all season.
Spanked in the last game. Billing
yourself
for?
And then you proclaim you're the best.
Send embarrassing gifts to me and Chris that make you look like more of a knob.
Celebrate.
Right, Dad. Reece, I believe there's a special. You've got a couple of special prizes for people entering the competition this week.
Yeah, so for anyone who enters using the link in the description, we're giving away two Liverpool jerseys at random. So if anyone wants to enter the league, that'll be kicking off 8 o'clock on Saturday when kickoff is. So I'm actually a fan of the new home jersey. I'm going to get it. I didn't get last year's one, but if anyone does like the new jersey, then enter and you could be within a chance of winning one.
Yep, absolutely. We did a review on it on the channel this week. It is expensive. So yeah, get involved. Potentially win yourself £5,000.
I was going to say, you could buy two of them. You could buy the Vapor one and the other one.
You could buy, 500 of the expensive one? Yeah, 50? Yeah, 50? Yeah,
that was horrendous maths. A lot.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and be skint. There you go. Right, Al Reece, thank you so much for joining us for this week. Good luck to you, but obviously less luck than us.
Thanks for joining us over the last few months as well, my man. It's been lots of fun getting the piss taken out of me.
Yeah, gents, it's been a pleasure. Obviously a long time watcher as well, so absolute pleasure to be on with you boys.
Amazing, nice one.
Fingers crossed for Saturday.
Yes, indeed. Yes, goes without saying. Link to download the app is in the description underneath the video or the podcast. So get involved with Who Knows Wins. And make sure you are gamble aware and check all the terms and conditions. Oh, Ross has found the hat.
Fuck off,
and the hat goes to Stee. Look at him. Look at him, wonderful man. He knows nothing.
You can't see it. You can't see the logo. There you go.
Look at that.
That doesn't...
I know, he styled that quite well.
Like
a crocky Fred Durst. Right, so let's move things on then. We've had a super chat come in from John Lee David Blackshaw, who was an absolute pleasure to meet at our live show at the weekend.
He's not a Tory.
He's not a Tory at all. No.
I love John. He's a good guy. And he looks like a pirate, which I love.
He's great. He says, remember the LFC 5-1 Germany? This is that game, old team and getting ready for another rebrand, and this LFC team, speed and skill, another 5-1 YNWA. I'd be here for that all day. I'd love it. I mean, we'll talk about it. We'll come to it in due course. We have got to go back in time one last time to a couple of days ago at the end of the season. I don't really want to dive too much into it because I've been through the heartbreak. I've just seen that video from the crowd of them celebrating Salah's goal, and I've seen the other side of it because of the TV coverage and the guys putting showing them the score. But they're asking
Joel Matip's literally saying to the fella,
what's the score. It's utterly heartbreaking. I don't need any more of that in my life, but I want to talk about the things that were good about it. And Chris, Sadio Mane, I mean, going into this game, we've talked a lot about, you know, Mo Salah and what have you. Having Sadio Mane in this kind of form going into this game, when he's the kind of man who this season has absolutely risen to all the big occasions, we should be very, very grateful and very, very excited about that.
Yeah, but for being a yard offside, he gets two brilliant finishes in at the weekend, doesn't he? I mean, the second one's absolutely beautiful, completely different to the first one, which is taken really, really well. Just completely surprised the goalkeeper. Great through ball by Thiago, obviously. But the form that Mane is in right now, he's never played better for Liverpool, actually. Even on the, when he was top scorer for us on the right, when he moved over to the left-hand side, I think this is his best form that he's been in at Liverpool. He feels like he's so full of confidence. He doesn't look tired. Whereas you might question, Salah at the moment in terms of, does he look quite as sharp as anybody else? Sadio Mane looks like this is his time, and the world will stand up and take notice of him.
Yeah, and we were chatting to Carter about this, about like the whole Ballon d'Or thing, and he's convinced that this is potentially Sadio Mane's stage looming at the weekend. Everyone's been going on about Benzema all season and Mo Salah, obviously, But there's a chance Sadio Mane just comes in and absolutely steals the show.
Can I toot my own horn?
Yes.
Been saying this for ages.
Yeah.
And I got ridiculed, mocked, lambasted.
Yeah.
I was right. The count moments.
But not as right as James Redmond, ultimately.
No, not yet. He was right at first. I mean, as soon as they won that AFCON and then they got through that, I was like, he's in the mix. If Liverpool can go and win one of the big ones. Now, obviously, we fell short in the Premier League, but no fault of Sadio Mane. He's with 23 goals this season already in all comps, 16 in the league. Bear in mind, you know, 34 games in the league. So ridiculous. And he was a lot winger for a lot of that as well. He scored about 50 games all in total now with 23 goals. He's having another worldy season. But if he can score the winner in the Champions League final, having, you know, won the AFCON, having got them to a World Cup, having had an amazing season with the two other trophies as well, he's definitely up there. And I remember when I first said it, everyone started laughing at me and they were like, he hasn't been that good. That's why I was, you know, he's been rubbish. That's what people were saying to me after January. He hasn't played well at all. And I don't think that was right. I don't think he'd been his best. But my take also was like, Jorginho came fair last year.
Yeah.
And because Chelsea won the Champions League and he helped win the Euros. Like, I know they've said we've changed the criteria, but ultimately have they? Like, how many of these people who vote have watched every game across every? It's impossible to do it. So you're going to just look at the finals and the big moments, exactly. And that's where his name's going to be there.
We were saying that about Salah in January, weren't we, Chris, about how he needed just some of those iconic photographs. You just need to see him doing the things. And while we were all looking and waiting for Salah to have them, Mane's like got like this fucking photo book lined up already of iconic moments, and he's potentially one short of being potentially a shoo-in for them.
I still think the three of them are up there, to be honest with you. I think you can't look past the amount of goals and assists that Salah's got. I think dragging that Egypt team to a final, regardless of whether you win it or not, is something special. It's going to be tough, but if Salah scores two goals and Mane doesn't score a goal and Liverpool win, it goes Salah. If Mane scores and Liverpool win, it goes, and Salah doesn't score, it goes Mane. If they both score and Liverpool win, probably Mane edges it because of the moments.
And then the flip side, the unthinkable is if Liverpool win, it's Benzema. Benzema's name on it now. Yeah. And all three of them would deserve it. There's been tons of good players. Like, I'd still have De Bruyne in this mix. I really would. He's unbelievable. And I know that, again, but it goes back to the... It goes back to the winning stuff, doesn't it? And that's why he probably won't get it.
It kind of brings me on to something I want to talk about. We've been having a bit of a giggle about it pre-film, and it's like the City Trophy Parade. We talk about those iconic photos, and there's now an iconic photo of Kevin De Bruyne looking out over a trickle of humanity in Manchester watching the Trophy Parade.
It looks like he's looking out over our kids' schoolyard when it's pick-up time.
Yeah.
To be honest, just a few single parents. Quite busy. Not really, like...
It looks like Deansgate on a Wednesday. Like, that's what Deansgate...
It's a busy... Instead of walking to the next shop or bar, we'll just stop for a minute and look at something.
The thing that I found most hilarious of the whole thing is that the crowd got to walk with the bus. Like, and that for me is like, the photo, it's like, it looks like quite a few people there. Hang on a minute, they're literally walking next to the bus.
Well, is it like this isn't
a crowd that the bus drives past and it just goes on and on and on forever?
Photos where you had to take it in segments so one kid could end up in the same photograph four times.
So they were literally walking the bus down Deansgate, and then I was like, have they done them dirty here? Have they done them dirty? And some
they have.
No, they didn't, though, because you got to see the route plan and it was from one end of the road to the other, and that was it. And it wasn't even that big a road. It was about 250 metres road. Right, so that's all they planned for. Like, Liverpool's is going to be about 4.5 miles, wall-to-wall reds all the way along. We had more at the coach greeting. I think we had more at our live show on Saturday night. If you combine us, Tour Live and Boss Night, we definitely had more there between us on Saturday night.
The night before. For a game that ultimately led to us with a nothing, so probably saw more people out being really obviously Liverpool fans. You know what I mean?
Liverpool was alive on Sunday night after the game, to be fair. It was Liverpool was bouncing, but I've ultimately it's quite funny and I get the mocking of it, but like
I genuinely thought, and I tweeted it because I saw the first video, and it was like, it's an hour till it starts or whatever, and the buses were there, and I like I said, is this parody? Because I watch a lot of like Exploding Heads and that kind of stuff, and it's just brilliant. But it felt like if you were making a fake newscast to take the piss out of Man City, you'd be like, that's exactly what it would look like if you were scripting comedy to describe a City trophy parade. That video was it, but it wasn't. It was actual real life.
The crowd is gathering. It's or something, and I was like, it's not really a crowd, is it? It's literally a gathering
of people.
It's a gathering. Of,
yeah.
it's
to the point where if we were still under heavy lockdown, they'd have been fine with it. genuinely. Yeah, there's those videos coming through the rounds
now. It would have been absolutely fine.
Boris Johnson's had more people in his office the other day than
I've seen pictures of the next sale that have gone off well more than that.
Like, genuinely, that's
Primark on a Saturday afternoon in Liverpool is well busy.
Boxing Day sales. Like, you know, if there was a picture of Boris Johnson with that many people running with a glass of champagne, ITV would have been like, oh, we can't publish this.
No rules broken there.
And I do. I
genuinely, remember the kit launch that Liverpool did in town, where Mignolet was kicking the balls, and we all realised he can't kick balls.
Yeah.
That one had more people there.
They are a
warrior kit launch for Liverpool 8 years ago.
Yeah. They are what they are. They are a very, 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 very good football team. One of the best teams I've ever seen. But they just haven't got the fan base yet. And what they'll be saying is, well, if we keep going for 10 years, we might get it. And they absolutely might. And that is what it is. I understand that. That's why we are. Well, we are.
They get a fan base. We don't get the culture.
That's the difference. It's just different. It is just different.
Yeah, and I don't think it's helped because it's like a Monday evening they're doing stuff as well. So
doesn't matter though. Really.
No, but it does. Like it made
the Champions League parade that we had in 2005 was a Thursday, and town was. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, okay.
It's just different.
But you're right. You're right in that. But I mean, for them, it matters because it's a bit like when you've booked something in the week, you've booked a gig or you've booked an event, and you might have paid a bit of money for it, but the money's gone now, and you sit down after work, and you're like, I cannot be fucked.
I could understand that if it was going to be busy. Right, busy crowds, can't really be arsed with being in a group of people. You know it's not.
Yeah.
So you may as well go.
But even if it prevents that, it's not going to be that good. You're not going to miss an iconic moment.
Paul, you can literally walk to the front and basically speak to the players. Like, you know what I mean? Have you ever tried to get to the front of the gig? It's well harder than getting to the front at Man City Parade.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And so, but to the point about them is that that's the thing, is that it's not, I just don't think it's as culturally ingrained in them, to your point. So There's a smaller group of people, and then it's not like it's on the weekend, and it's not in the immediate. You know what I mean? It's not, and again, you can't because we played the Sunday, so it had to be pretty.
Diehard Man City fans are still diehard Man City fans, and some really good ones.
There's just not loads of them.
But that's it because they're not even the biggest club in their city, and that's weird because usually the best teams are the biggest club in their city, and they're just not, and they're not even close to it, and that's the difference. It might be, again, 15, 20 years' time, it might go the other way. Because if Man U continue to be crap and City are good, they might change. But right now, it would be like Everton winning the Premier League title over us. The smaller team would still be better.
14 years since they got... Since the initial takeover? Like Chinoatra comes in around then, doesn't he?
So, I thought it was more 2003-ish, you know, because...
That's when they moved to the city of Manchester Stadium. Okay. Around
Dubai
that,
stuff's
around
a bit...
Time.
It's been a lot of decades.
Exactly. But what I'm kind of hitting at with this is there's now... Just go back to the initial takeover. You've now got a group of people who are heading into their teens... who have only known City having loads of money. So they're due a fresh crop of locals who might have gone with Man City over Manchester United in that period, might have, or in their formative years, might have chosen City a bit more. But it's it's not their fault. It's not the diehard Man City fans' fault that loads of people don't like. And it must be great. They can have tickets to any football match they want. There is something that's a bit like we're mocking them for having a greater ease and access to being able to watch their football team when we're all sat here stressing about not being able to get a ticket for the Champions League final and how horrible ballots are and all that kind of stuff. And yet we sneer at them for not having it.
It's a better atmosphere on the telly though than going there. Yeah,
it's not worth the money. I just don't like manufactured fan bases. Like, that's why, like waving plastic flags on the seat, and, you know, bring your, we'll provide them for you. And I don't like all that. It just doesn't feel as authentic.
But I just felt like
I'm a Liverpool fan though, because I'm ingrained and brought up. They, like, this is the way. Everyone, they're not the same. Everyone's different, and they're just brought up in. It is a little bit. I don't want to cheapen the word, but like, it's being a fan, not a supporter. That, you know, like, I'm a fan of this team and I'll cheer them on, but like, it's not as like ingrained. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you will see what we see how they go, and I think this season will have won people like that Atletico away game will have done something. You know what I mean? Because that's a big fight. It's a different Man City moment, isn't it? And that last day of the season thing, the way they come back from
hugely goals, resilient.
Yeah, that adds, and that win. They're the kind of things that win your fans. But I did have a little moment where. Look, I'm
football. Yeah, but Real Madrid might have taken all of their fans that they just won.
Yeah, it's possible, yeah. But I mean, I'm about to say something when we're only 2 years removed from Liverpool celebrating a league title in an empty stadium. But like seeing their players go mad for it and going nuts on that bus, and you just think, like, it just feels a bit.
You could be loved somewhere else.
Yeah. Like, you know, like your
stuff would be that you'd be appreciated a lot more somewhere else.
You'd be having moments that, like, that shake the world, and you deserve that, and that team does deserve that. Those players and that man, and Pep Guardiola, and that's why I think that he's got such an obsession with stuff, because he can't fathom it. Because we said this through the week, he's putting in all the workload, he's doing all, they're going through all the processes. It just so happens they're doing it at a football club that should be a.
He's been at big clubs, he knows.
Championship to first to top division side floater. They should be somewhere in between the two. They should, you know, they just should be. That's the size of the football club they are, and they've been given these dressings and handed all these things. And I did feel a little bit like I'm feeling sorry for multimillionaire footballers, and they're made up. They're having a good time, and I'm sure they don't want any sympathy. They're well happy. They'd rather just win league titles, I guess. But you can't help but look at you. We're just spoiled, aren't we?
Yeah, they're going to be really, really, really like. What the fuck? And when Liverpool parade their trophies, because they've seen what Liverpool do, and they'll be like, oh my god, especially Kevin De Bruyne.
It would be,
I literally support this side, I'd rather go and be there.
I don't know what it would be like if on Sunday, if we've not won the European Cup,
it's still be better parade. Than this.
No, I agree. I suspect even us parading two trophies that we've won weeks earlier, and one of them won months earlier, we'll still have a much bigger turnout than them having just on the last day of the season with a 3-2 turnaround won the Premier League. The Istanbul thing, that's the funny thing, is that Istanbul inspired people to jump in their cars and drive through the night to be in the city of Liverpool. It was mad. Like, I had mates who I hadn't seen for months who just came up
had to be
just,
there.
They just
pilgrimage.
Yeah, exactly that. And that should have, they should have had. They should have that, because they've had
the manner in which they won it as well. Yeah,
Right, we're going to start gearing up towards the Champions League final. We have got a very special podcast, as mentioned, with Jamie Carragher sat right in that seat where Chris is right now, chatting about all things around Liverpool Football Club. But we had a good old chat about Joel Matip. So here's Jamie Carragher with us chatting about Big Joel. I'll touch Joel Matip, and I obviously touched him on the Canate thing as well. We'll hopefully have time to come to the decision between them two. But has Joel Matip been the surprise star of the season? Has he come onto your radar in that regard? We've always known how good he is, but I don't think anyone expected his availability to be what it's been. But also to be able to put that level in so consistently, he's always felt like the second. You know, Liverpool have had three centre halves who've all been. At an equal level, more or less, but it's Van Dijk's the star. Whereas Matip has been, his level of consistency this season's been astonishing.
He's been brilliant, and he's been a little bit unfortunate that it looks like almost his position is a little up for grabs, because, you know, Canate's record still hasn't lost as of yet in a Liverpool shirt. But I think, you know, whether you pick him one or the other, Canate, I'm not sure now, maybe the extra bit of pace. Maybe because of Vinicius Junior of Real Madrid, he may get the nod, but I think Matip's been as good as Van Dijk this season.
Yeah.
And what's really good when the two of them are playing together is, with the ball, they're completely different. Whereas Van Dijk plays with the ball from a standing position, he makes his passes where he receives the ball. That I was like that. Obviously, I wasn't playing passes like that, but I didn't feel comfortable the way Matip does, and he goes running into midfield. And I mean, We talk about players stepping into midfield with the ball at centre-back, and it gets spoken about a lot, but not many people do it. It's a bit of a myth.
Hansen used to, didn't he? That was about
it. But it's
him.
A bit of a myth, you know. People always say, Rio did it, he didn't. Mm. We talk about Butler, John Stones doesn't do it. Matip is the one that stands out by a mile.
He steps into the final third.
Yes, he goes in there, and it's all arms and legs. But
you get the same feeling when he's dribbling with the ball as Salah, like you don't really know, like he knows what he's doing.
No, I'm more than fine when Joel goes in there. No, I think he knows exactly what he's doing. He's just trying to entice someone onto him at the right time and just make that pass. And he's very good at it. Konate's very good passing. Again, he's slightly different. And that he's Joel Matip goes on a run and then plays a pass, whereas Konate plays the pass between the lines really, really well, whereas Van Dijk's one who switches the play. So even Konate's really good at the ball. He can really punch one into people. So we've got three centre-backs there. Obviously, you've got Gomez, who are really good in possession. But Matip, when you see him coming, I mean, he's just hilarious, isn't he, watching him play?
He's brilliant. He's just unbelievable. But Konate was the first goal yesterday, wasn't it? It was Konate's ball into Thiago's feet in between the lines.
But that's what he does. He just punches
him. It's like a little... little six iron, but you're trying to do a little chip with a six iron or something. You go poof like that, and it's off.
Sounds like that as well.
I want to know. Chris, you first on this. Does he just get underrated because of Van Dijk?
Yeah,
because I think,
and because he looks funny, because he looks awkward and all that type of stuff. No, it's true, because he screams at the air and the grass and everything else.
Yeah,
like Van Dijk's just so calm. Matip, you never get the impression that he's calm, but he is.
Because the reason I sort of asked this, because I've seen loads of teams of the year. I know you've done yours, Jamie. We're doing. I came up because I've been asked to do it for the overlap for tomorrow, because it's been team of the season, and I put Matip in alongside Van Dijk, and I think sometimes there's a temptation, people don't like to do that because he's not fashionable, is he? You know what I mean? It's almost like you're setting yourself up for ridicule because there's obvious answers. The obvious answer is to put Ruben Diaz in, or to put Laporte, or to put Rudiger or whatever in. But if I kind of feel if Matip was playing at that level for another team, he would be put alongside, or very likely put alongside Van Dijk in teams of the year.
Yeah, I put Matip in. Gary Neville said the same thing again, because they don't quite understand. I said, well, he's been as good as Van Dijk this season. And Diaz has been, who I put in last season, I think I said was player of the year last year. He's been injured a lot, so that's why I never put him in. Laporte, I think he's done okay. He's done good. But no, I think Liverpool's centre-backs have been the two best. I really do. I like the fella at Spurs, Romero.
Yeah.
Really like him. But... not too many other standout candidates, to be honest. But no, for me, it was pretty obvious it was going to be them two.
Yeah, no, I agree on that. I just think it is fascinating how people... I think people like to put more players in to almost show... I've got a wider understanding of this whole football thing.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah. You haven't watched them properly.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, there's plenty of people out there who do that. Don't worry about that.
let's talk about Madrid.
Sorry, the other thing with Matip, though, like... If everyone says, anyone could play next to Van Dijk, and that works against them as well, doesn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
Because he can't. We've just got three exceptional centre-backs, maybe four, if you want to include Joe Gomez in there.
Yeah, I think we should.
Same as, you know, I'm like you, Jamie. I think he was just as good as Virgil. Better first half of the season, by the way, when Virgil was still recovering. When we won the Champions League, he was the best centre-half of the club in those last 6 weeks of the season as well. Like, when Liverpool have gone on and done special things, he's been a massive part of it. Nearly gets a goal in the Carabao Cup final, some really important goals over the last couple of weeks. Same as Konate, by the way, massive important goals. That's what you need to, you know, Van Dijk hasn't had those moments, actually, towards the end of the season, has he? In quite the same way as Matip and Konate have been able to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, get yourself pumped for Paris with our Jamie Carragher podcast special, streaming right now on Redmen Plus in video and in podcast form. You can get all the extra podcasts from all of our studio shows in your native podcasting app as well. And we had some discussion about this, even things like this. Slightly more ad-free over on there as well, in that it doesn't have all the YouTube pre-roll and mid-roll and all that kind of stuff. Like, so yeah, all that stuff is available. You can get all of our content in one place over on Redmen Plus. If you're on YouTube right now, scan the QR code or just head to redmenplus.com. We've got so much lined up for you guys, and it doesn't stop in Paris. It carries on. We've got all the post-season content wrapping things up. We've got an amazing documentary as well. Talk about Divock Origi's legendary moments with some of the people who were closest to it around that time from fans. And we've even got a particularly iconic commentator involved as well for that. And one particular Liverpool legend who may or may not have been the guy that I've just been promoting a podcast about. So yeah, get over to Redland Plus. We love it. And if you want to support what we do too, then you can do that. But we'll give you loads of content in return. Deal? Deal. Right. Let's, before we crack on specifically to the Champions League final, I do just want to talk very briefly about Divock Origi. Chris, it looks like, I mean, he's been given his send-off. Whether he will be available for the weekend, we don't know. It would be, you know, wouldn't mind one more Divock moment. I would prefer not to have one more Divock moment, if I'm honest, because it means that we've probably won the game quite well, if that's the case. I thought it was lovely, and it was really interesting how it was framed and how they talked about it in the ground. It was something that Jürgen very much wanted.
Jürgen
the squad,
and the players.
Yeah, very much wanted. And they were very keen to stress Liverpool legend Divock Origi. There will be people question that because, I don't know, the legendary status thing is very odd. There's no hard and fast rules over it, but I'm all in on the idea that Divock Origi is a Liverpool legend.
Yeah, and I think Cult Hero, it can be a bit derogatory at times. Yes. And I think that's what they wanted to stress, that it's not that. It is a legend. The moments that he's had in a Liverpool shirt that he's given us as fans deserves that tag, really, doesn't it? And I was welling up, mate, to be honest with you. I was really surprised how emotional I actually got in the ground. And I wasn't the only one that I spoke to who felt exactly the same. And even when he was coming out, you know, I was welling up. But when he was walking in front of the cop, I found myself going again and having to, like, choke back tears and stuff. And I was like, what is going on, mate? Why am I like this?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's been on an emotional day as well.
It'd been a very emotional day.
A couple of days.
But I didn't expect to feel like that. And that's, sometimes you don't know until you're in the situation. Like, you might get this thing as well. You know, I watch other sports and stuff like that, and I watch two teams that I don't really find myself particularly thinking I'm going to support. And then all of a sudden, I'm cheering for one team and not another. And I'm like, oh, this is how you feel.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's kind of what the Divock thing was. I thought, oh, you know what, it's going to be sad to see him go. And then by the time it was going on, I was like, I really don't want him to go.
Yeah. I mean, what a great story for him, really. You know, it's a shame that he never quite got to become, I think he has fulfilled the potential. I think we all felt he could have done when he joined, and we certainly started to see the best of him. He gets that, obviously.
I disagree with that, right? Okay. From the point of, I'm going to frame it like this. I think when we bought him, he was going to probably play in a two up top, and I think he could have fulfilled his potential. I think he's exceeded his potential in a 4-3-3 system where he doesn't play games.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I agree with what you're saying completely, because when we bought him, we thought he was going to go to the top, like, you know what I mean, and really score 30 goals a season, and he didn't do that. So I completely agree with what you're saying, but I don't think he fit what we do.
So what he's managed
to do in this Jürgen Klopp side has actually more than fulfilled it.
Yeah, he's fulfilled his role outstandingly, hasn't he? I think it's that thing of, we'll never know now, you know, he was on a great run. You know, he gets that injury against Everton and it's never quite the same. And it looks like his Liverpool career is done. For him to then come back around and then have that hand in 18-19 and several very important hands in 18-19 today, and then to still be able to contribute big moments. Again, last season, we were like, well, that's him done. We've had everything we're ever going to get out of him. And then to come back again this season and still have impacts in games. That's why he's a Liverpool. If David Fairclough's a Liverpool legend, Divock Origi's a Liverpool legend, and I agree with Chris that the Cult Hero thing is a bit of like, just lads we loved who maybe, it's a way to show love to lads who actually didn't succeed at Liverpool.
It's Titi Kamara.
Exactly.
That's a Cult Hero for me.
Yeah.
And Divock, well better than that. And yeah. Igor, exactly.
Yeah, well, obviously we know we're doing the moment documentary. Like, the moment icon, that's what he is. I don't think he was ever a great player. I think he's a player who provides us with great moments, and that can make you a legend. Like, I mean, you only have to do a couple of things to make yourself a hero, and he's done more than enough. Like, say, looking at, like, he scored a few goals for Liverpool, like, than Peter Crouch. He scored the same amount of goals, like, Jamie Redknapp, less than Danny Murphy. But, like, go back and name the iconic goals, though. Like, you're never getting one. You're never getting a European Cup final goal, two against Barcelona in the semi-final. Last-minute winners everywhere. It always felt, that's the difference. It's like, the moments he gives us are just, that's what he'll go down for. And listen, if you score two goals in that game, the, probably the greatest night of our history in terms of European at home nights, of course, like, you're going to be remembered forever and ever and ever. Like, he just is. And rightly so. He's, you know, 15, 16 when we signed, 15, 16, 16, 17, I felt like he was about to become the next big thing. He was a young kid and he had a lot to his game. Obviously, we have a change of manager around that time to a guy who didn't sign him. It feels like after the injury, Jürgen just doesn't fancy him. He's getting loaned out. He's in the cold. He just appears and the Pickford goal happens and he's back in the fold. He just goes on from there. So I like that he came out afterwards and said, there's been a misconception almost, like he doesn't give a fuck, like he's playing or not. He's like, actually, I was really annoyed that I wasn't playing much, but because of my character and what I wanted for the team, I never kicked up a fuss per se.
He believes he is where he's meant to be. You know what I mean? In life, he's a very... And that's one of the reasons why I think Jürgen loves him, is because he's not like... He doesn't get sucked into other people's expectations or perceptions or whatever. He's got a devout belief in himself and his like role to play in the universe or whatever, which is a bit much for football. But it is that's why he's so...
Well, if he was happy to sit on the bench, he wouldn't be at Liverpool under Jürgen Klopp.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be.
No.
Because Jürgen doesn't like that. He wants people who are pissed off.
If he was
clapping,
yeah, exactly. If he was clapping saying, he wouldn't be. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, I've said, oh, he looks like a lad who's just happy to be about and he'll get a game when he wants and he's signed with it. But actually, I love the comments that have kind of proved that. No, I wanted to play. Yeah. I was annoyed and I speak to the manager. That's why I weren't playing. It was just basically, this is what he was kind
he's
of
going to the Champions of Italy.
Well, this is, this is what I think is brilliant for him. You know, he goes out on loan to Wolfsburg. They change managers, I think, and it doesn't work out for him. We bring him back and everyone's like, well, that's him done. You know, what are you going to get for him? A buttons, you know, and he's not going to contribute to Liverpool. He's not at Liverpool's level anymore. He has those iconic moments. And, you know, you don't go out on loan and then come back and have a Liverpool career. You know, he should have been following the Andrew Vorhonen path or the Ekholari path. Any number of footballers we've had who haven't cut the mustard, we can't sell them, so we loan them out and then that's them done. For him to come back and actually be more iconic after that for Liverpool, and then, as you mentioned there, Chris, which is really good for him and why I'm so pleased for him, he's gone and got him a big move. You know, AC Milan are now back to the top of the pile again in Serie A.
It's mad, isn't it, Chris? Sorry, and Paul as well. He's 27 years old going to AC Milan. Like, that, a lot of players have made that move in the past, but it's like a massive move. Yeah. He's been here so long because we signed him when he was a kid. He's been here, like, saying, what, seven seasons now, I think I'm right in saying, and he's only just turning 27. He's now at the age of 27, where he probably feels like his peak years. He now goes to the Champions.
Loans in the tank as well.
Going to the Champions of Italy. Like, it's a massive move. Like, he's not like some washed up over the hill fella who's 35 and going for a payday. There's Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I know, but he's contributed there as well. Mm-hmm. But Divock's going 8-27. It's set up for him to go and have. He could have 5 years at AC Milan. He could become an AC Milan hero as well. Like, yes. He could be a hero for two of the most iconic football teams in Europe because he's got that much time. He isn't just going for like one last hurrah. Potentially, he's got another career ahead of him, a whole new chapter for him. Yeah. And that's amazing for him.
And I'm made up because I said this for the last two transfer windows. A good club or even a bang average Premier League club should have been battering down the door at Liverpool Football Club and going, give us Divock Origi. What do you want? How much do you want for him? Because he's a goal scorer, and I'm convinced that if he gets utilised correctly and a team is played to his strengths.
Arsenal should have been all over Divock Origi. They're about to sign Gabriel Jesus, aren't they? Like, half the league should be all over him. I'm just amazed they're not, and they wasn't. But fair play to him. Well, Wolves want him, didn't they? And that didn't come through. Like, and now he's going to AC Milan. Like, Champions of Italy, story, club and
I
stuff.
I love that. I genuinely love that. Like, that's the point. There's just something about that. You know, like, he's not going to Wolves and he's going to one of the iconic football clubs on the planet. I don't know what's next for him. He might just go on and be more of the same. But as far as, like, if you're going to send someone off, with your best possible wishes and feelings.
A lot of our cast-offs, again, I'm not disrespecting clubs here, but like Andy Carroll got shipped out, he ends up like West Ham student. Like, you know what I mean? Like, good teams, but they're not the champions of Italy playing Champions League football next year.
And again, it's a different case because of where they are in the careers and injuries and that, but like Daniel Sturridge has struggled to get a game ever since, you know, he's obviously over in Australia, not pulling up trees over there at that point. Divock, you're right.
Saying Divock played in the home? Did he play in both legs against Milan?
Yeah, he scored in the San Siro. Yeah. And he set the goal up at home with a little amazing little chip over. Remember that from like nowhere, just a little dink over. I think Mo Salah gets on the end of it and scores. Yeah, so they've seen him first hand. Yeah,
and the players, you know, the same way that our players had a look at Minamino and were like, "Who's that lad there?" Like, you know what I mean? Are you going to do anything about this?
So you're saying Nat Phillips to AC Milan nailed on.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not sure that
he
club has got another
team,
space
he did go
for
to a team in red and black
I'm not,
stripes.
I'm not sure that club's got another space for another Baresi.
Yeah,
to be honest, they don't want to ruin Baresi. That legacy.
Yeah. Maldini was on the phone saying, "I can't afford to have my legacy overtaken by this fella. You're going to have to knock that one in the head."
Right, cool, boss. Farewell, Dino Carrighi. Yeah, we've got an amazing feature lined up. As I said, coming on Redmen Plus in June.
Very quickly, I hope we get Divock in the final. I'm hoping, I wouldn't like anything more.
Next year?
Nope, like next week. Like, if he gets on and plays and scores.
Okay.
Yeah, you said you don't want to dig off, because it means something's gone wrong.
It didn't last time, won it?
Get him on.
True.
Get him in. He's 5 sub, but I really, it could be the opposite. It could be going really well, and you give him a proper send-off.
To the point
final.
That we've got, if he's getting on the pitch, No, I get what you're trying to say, but it means that there's something wrong with one of Salah, Mane, Diaz, Firmino.
You're looking at it all
Jota.
The wrong way.
We're four. And he goes, "Diogo, your time will come." That's what I'm thinking.
And he gets a guard of honour as he comes onto the pitch.
Real Madrid players just bowing him.
Yeah. Gareth Bale's there on the sidelines, cheering.
In his golf hat.
Do you think it's something that occurred to me on the day I've not thought about? Do you think the fact that we didn't do anything for Milner suggests that he's going to sign a contract?
I was speaking to Sam Walker yesterday.
He was crying, wasn't he?
I spoke to Sam and Sam said he was very emotional in front of the cop. And he wondered whether that was just a heartache of what we've been through, or he might be off. Like, I don't think he would want that. To be honest, he might get something.
Don't want birthday parties, but that's the person you throw a birthday
song.
Party for.
That's probably why I was crying. Yeah. Have I still not got a song here, lads?
Lallana kind of got the exit interview thing, didn't he, and all that cancelled because the way that all panned out with when he was leaving, like literally, he wouldn't play him in case he got injured, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I reckon Milner's just that bothered about the Champions League final, and then we'll cross that bridge. And to be honest, I don't think a decision's been made, and I think that's probably it. With Divock, we know.
Yeah.
I don't think Milner knows, and I don't think Liverpool quite know yet. So
I think Milner might need reassurance of his game time, because I think he's proven over the last 4 to 8 weeks that he is probably still better than the minutes that he's getting.
Yeah.
And he's probably, well, I spoke to Neil Jones on Geno Insights last week, I think, and he basically said, Milner will stay if he can play. He's good enough to play every game in the Premier League for somebody. So do you want to be... And Carvalho's coming in and there's movement around Liverpool. There's talk of a shoe-in enemy or whoever it is. He wants...
Have just found out that Leeds stayed up as well. Yeah. And it was an emotional day for him. You know what I mean? He loves Leeds. Yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Okay, on to the Champions League final then. They're into dream once again. It's funny, isn't it? Because I was very much like, this was the dream draw. you know, Benfica, Villarreal, and my God, we've somehow ended up with Real Madrid in the final. But now we've got to live it, Chris, and that's a very different, the confidence that I have. What, you know what, why I'm struggling a little bit with this, and bear in mind, you know, we're days out from this, so this will change. I'm still in that interim period between the end of the Premier League and the Champions League, but I was so, the story was so well written out for Sunday for us to win the league that I now feel really unsure about my feelings and stuff. And all it's done is remind me, of course, that stories are only written when stories are written. They're not written beforehand. You get to pull back on things when things actually happen. But there's equally a good story for Real Madrid for this as there is for Liverpool. It's about two teams playing a game of footy. I'd rather have them in the final than Manchester City. That remains true. Getting past them still got to be a thing.
Yeah, it's going to be a mad game. I really believe that. I do think it's going to be crazy. I don't think it's going to go to the game plan that we want it to go to. I'd be really shocked and surprised if it does. I think what Liverpool want is to dominate the ball for 90 minutes and probably run out 2-0 winners again, like when we played Tottenham. I think what's going to happen is, you know, we've just been speaking about Divock and his moments. Madrid are the same. They're all just about individual moments of brilliance that can break a game apart. The two sides are actually set up very well to complement each other's style of play as well. So Madrid will feel like they can get success where, you know, I think they'll be looking maybe at the Wolves game and going, our players finished their dinner in those situations. If you're going to give us 2 1-on-1s with Alisson, yeah, we back our players to score those goals.
Yeah.
What I don't feel like is they're as good defensively as some of the sides that we come up against week in, week out in the Premier League. So I think Liverpool players will be like, they're not a park the bus side. They're not used to it. If we take the ball off them, we can score goals and we can do a better job of finishing than Manchester City did. So it really is an interesting game. I believe Liverpool are the better side. And I believe if Liverpool play this game 10 times, Liverpool win it 9 times. Yeah. We just need to hope that it's one of those 9 times that we get at the weekend.
Like, I think Carlo might have tipped his hand at the weekend because he picked in what's essentially a meaningless game at home to Real Betis, and he picks a side and it looks like he's getting them ready for it looks like a Champions League final team. Mm-hmm. So Rodrigo and Junior flanking Benzema. He didn't make changes, he didn't rest anyone. He picked essentially what I think the team he's going to pick. So Militao and Nacho, I think Liverpool would look at that and think we can get at that.
Yeah,
definitely. The other way around, they'll be thinking Robertson and Trent get high, Rodrigo and Vinicius go and get on your bikes kind of thing. So I actually think both sides will be quite happy tactically going into it with what they're going to do. We'll have more of the ball. They'll be happy for us to have more of the ball.
It's going to be interesting whether, again, how Carlo approaches it.
He'll do nothing and just raise his eyebrow.
This will be on one point there, Steve, and that's I don't think they'll be happy. I don't think they could get the ball off City, and that was a problem for them. They don't get pressed like Liverpool and Man City press teams in the La Liga.
Yeah.
And whenever they've come up against the side that presses, they
just call it in the La Liga.
They're like, apologies.
The Liga. Someone explains the Liga.
So I think for them, they just didn't know how to deal with it when I watched them play City, and they didn't know how to spring it, and they didn't know how to string any passes together. Well, that's the only point I disagree on.
And there's a bit of thing with how he's approached those big games. How he approached like PSG away and Man City away was supposed to be very similar. It was, they're not going to throw the kitchen sink at them. They're going to stay in the game because, of course, their mission was to get it back to the Bernabeu close and trust that we can then turn it on when we need to. But whether they do that, but they shrink that two legs worth of football down into one leg and say, do we stay in the game for 45, 60 minutes and then throw and then spring a surprise? That team that they played at Betis doesn't necessarily feed into that by putting the two obvious fast lads on the pitch from the start. Yeah. Whereas obviously they keep Rodrigo in reserve, don't they, against City in particular.
He's kind of forced himself in, because I like Valverde, he's been good, but I think Rodrigo since over time. But the flip side is, like, we're talking about the moments and stuff, but Man City only conceded 26 goals in the league, same as us. They put 6 past them in 2 games. They can score goals. They've got goals in them.
Yeah.
They've got a great goal scorer. They've got 2 amazing young wingers who are finding the back of the net more often now. So they're a massive threat. I don't think they'd want us to have the ball in an ideal world. I think they're now prepared for the fact that, you know what, Liverpool are probably going to have the ball. So Carlo will know that. And he's done jobs on us before with a variety of teams. Like, Napoli did a job on us AC Milan's dad kind of did one on us a little bit. Obviously, Everton done a job on us, a different Liverpool side, but he knows his shit. Like, he knows what he's doing. And I trust that his game plan will be a good game plan. I trust that ours will as well. And that's why, with Tottenham, it was miles off, because I've got to be careful how I say this, but like, we have well better players and just a well better club. Mm-hmm. Like, this time, I still think we've got better players, but we're against the giants of a club.
Yeah.
You referenced, I'd rather be playing City. I'd rather be playing. You'd rather not be playing City, rather than Madrid. Madrid's players, I agree, but like the Jamie Carragher said in the podcast, it's the Real Madridness of them.
Yeah.
They've got this just unbelievable winning mentality and not never say die, all that kind of stuff. We've got it. And it's really hard to quantify that, and it's really hard to explain that to teams who haven't got it.
Yeah.
Like, they'll ask me what it means. I was like, it just is a thing. It is. Liverpool have got this in Europe, Real Madrid have got this. So if you could have put the Manchester City players in the Real Madrid kit, they'd be the best team of all time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's where we're at. Like, the mentality they've got is unbelievable.
Do we think that not winning the Premier League's added a bit of pressure to this one?
I do, yeah.
No, I don't think so, you know. I think it's freed them again. I think they know what the job is going to be. You know, they're not... I think there's more stress if you're going for quadruple, personally. You know what I mean? In some ways.
You're playing for the perfect game. You know, it all boils down.
One season, something that nobody's ever done in their life before. I like the fact that they didn't win it in some ways, you know, because they go in there and go, this is how we make it a historic season. We know how we do it. We know that we'll be disappointed. And I'm talking for the players, if they just walk away with two trophies, whereas you're playing for the quadruple, you can do something historic, you've still done something great. You can argue it both ways, can't you?
I think for me,
I don't think it is. I think, you know, you can look back at the narrative of last time we lost the league by a point and, you know, everything else that happens a couple of weeks later. They've been through this before. The pressure shouldn't really be on Liverpool regardless. I could argue both ways. I personally feel like they've freed a little bit from it.
No, I 100% disagree. I think there's huge pressure on it now. I'm not disparaging the FA Cup and the Carabao Cup. I mean, I because I couldn't remember what they were called, but I think there's huge pressure, because I think to have a great season, you have to win one of the big two. Mm-hmm. And we've had a great season up to this point, but history doesn't look kindly upon failures in finals, and it'll be they won two domestic cups and they fell short of two hurdles, and that's what I think about it. I think there's massive pressure on it. Real Madrid, our league champions, remember, yeah. They've won a big one this season, we haven't yet, so I think it's massive pressure. I don't think Liverpool will mind that pressure. Mm-hmm. I think they quite enjoy pressure. They tend to do quite well with pressure, but
I think it's put external pressure on, and whether the squad feel that or not, we can't know. And it's more because we hype up the Champions League and the Premier League, and rightly so, they're the two biggest ones you can win. But, you know, it's one of those things for some of the players, for Salah or for Mane, for Firmino's futures are a little bit up in the air. Maybe it adds more pressure because you want to go out and win that one, particularly for Mo Salah, who's desperate for that iconic moment for his own, you know, for his own Ballon d'Or chances we've touched on. As far as Liverpool go, it's not the end of the world. I think there's probably some of the fan base are a bit worried about the external pressure of like the banter, because we're already seeing it, like people laughing because Liverpool didn't win a quadruple. Like, oh, fucking Crimea, fucking River. It's not really the one, that is it? If you're going to try and wind Liverpool fans up, oh dear, we came within a goal of winning, of having a treble already banked before going to the European Cup final. But there is that of like, it will feel like failure if Liverpool miss out on the league and then the Champions League in the final two games of the season. But I think that's more on us. But when you look at it, you know, for these players, it's just more, they've added silverware. You know, when we look back at the era of Liverpool over Klopp,
they've now won everything. Exactly. City players can't say that. Yeah. They've not won everything. What I mean?
But I think in two or three years' time,
As a player, I think what happens is you've got to balance off pressure versus desire. I don't think the pressure of winning the European Cup is anywhere near the desire to make up for not winning the league. And that, for me, is what's more important as a player. They're right there going into the final. We've got to fucking do this. We are going to do this.
It's how they react, I think, to that game. Because there's no escaping that this is the revenge mission against Real Madrid. Mo Salah's been talking about it. You know, Trent will know about it. Robbo will know about it. Virgil will know about it. Matip will know about it. Loads of those players are still here. You know, we're still talking about the vast majority of the starting 11, and certainly probably the 16 that would be involved on the day. it's how do they treat that. And Jürgen Klopp, of course, is the master of turning pressure, stress and aggression into, isn't this great fun, go and show what you can do. And if we treat it like we treated the first 45 minutes against Wolves of, gotta go out, gotta win, gotta go and show them, gotta go and show everyone that we're better, instead of spending 30 minutes just playing the game, and then realising, we always refer to the Incredibles that we, Chris, of Dash, and that moment of you're running, and then that realisation, I'm fast enough to run on water here, go, I've got more levels to go to, go and play the game, go and match Real Madrid and go and stack up, see how you stack up against them. And then once you've matched them, have you got another gear to go to? And have you got another gear to build? Can you take the game away from them? That'll be interesting to see whether we do that. Do we come and blitzkrieg them in 15, like City tried to do? Or do we say, this is a 90-minute game of football?
I think we go big early.
Really?
Like we did to Chelsea, like we did to City. And because they are a moments team, and the longer you leave Real Madrid without cutting their head off them, cutting the head off the snake before you kill it, like you've got to kill it, and you've got to kill it, and you've got to stamp on it and do it early doors. We did that with Manchester City in that semi-final.
Been there a moments team, and we've got a slightly concerning recent trend of just conceding early goals.
I think we're going to go heavy early at them and just try and... I do think that, and... Going back to the bridge, by the way, there's never a Champions League final without pressure for whatever reason. Tottenham's team are under massive pressure because they're probably never going to get there ever again.
Yeah.
It's weird, it's different because like this is our 10th one of these. You know, there'll be fellas who've, and ladies.
Steve's
had
third.
Yeah.
7 or 8 have been for three.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Liverpool, we're spoiled. And, you know, Liverpool have been to, 10 of these now. There'll be, again, men and women who've seen them all, been to them all. Like, you know, could be 60 years old and been to them all.
It feels like a level pegging in its own sort of, as level a pegging as you're likely to get.
Because
it's
two giants, and the flip side is if you're a player, like there's no guarantees that you ever get back here. Like you reference it, Manchester City have been to one and they're amazing. So there's never no guarantees that you're going to get back. So I think there's always pressure.
Pressure on Real Madrid's side because of that? Because let's be honest. I mean, no one expected Real to get here, and that's a little bit what their story is, isn't it?
It takes feels the like the last that as well, doesn't it? Yeah. Though, at the same,
point. And there's always pressure to play for Real Madrid, though.
But yeah, true. But to the point of like, I think about Fernandinho against Chelsea, the title with Liverpool's title winning season, and he's gone beyond his level. The game's gone beyond his ability to impact the game, and that's what Liverpool are maybe playing. That's where pressure comes in, of where all of a sudden Benzema, Cruz, Modric. Slightly less Casemiro, but Casemiro are maybe in situations where you want to. It's all or nothing, and they can't because they're the players who are getting taken out of these games now when it starts to get to the heavy intense part.
It's so mad because like the lads who come in have got no pressure on them because they're coming in and the two goals freaking behind, and the brilliant lads can't get it done. So that's why they seem to have such a mad impact because there's literally the player with nothing to lose at that point. For Real Madrid, there is a pressure that comes with playing for Real Madrid. It must be the biggest, hardest place to play your football anywhere in the world.
When it's going badly, if it goes badly. Second to fail, like a massive failure, isn't it? That's different.
Carlo Ancelotti gets sacked, doesn't he, for winning? Does he win the league? Does he do a double that season or whatever? Wins the league and gets, yeah. There's plenty of managers like that who've been that down. Yeah. No, it's interesting. It'd be interesting to see that thing of, because I've said this before, and it's the big. It's the looming story for me is that they've got this whole one more time. Benzema's rolling back the clock, rolling back the years. It's not that Galacticos Real Madrid side, so I can't help but feel it's got a little bit of a shade of when we played them in 08-09 and they had these guys. Oh no, these guys are the absolute stars, but it wasn't quite the level of team that it was. They're somewhere in between two teams. The next Real Madrid isn't quite ready to be the starters. And the old guys are still there doing it, who are still incredible. Look at Luka Modric playing that semis in the quarters. Like,
we're going to leg him.
He's unbelievable.
We're going to leg him.
Well, I hope so. Yeah, and that's what we'll play. And that's the point. But, of course, it's not like our midfield are a bunch of spring chickens either. Like, you know, at the best of times. So.
Going back to it. So, Ancelotti, he won like 4 trophies in 14. Don't think he won the league, but he won like the European Cup and he won a load. And then he was gone in 15. Because, the standard is absurd. He's won the league title this year. He should be all right. I think he'll be fine. But... Yeah, I think this is different. It's usually you've got like there's an underdog or like a smaller club per se, or you know, this is two giants. This is massive.
They're a bigger European football club than us, and they've got guys their experienced guys are more experienced than our experienced guys.
Yeah.
But our team is very much in its prime, and their team is
in a bit of transition.
Is very much in a transition. So to your point, and that's what we were saying all along. Liverpool should beat Real Madrid in a game of football because they're better than Real Madrid across the pitch, pretty much. But it's exciting, but it's also incredibly nervous as a result because I love going into Tottenham Hotspur. You're just like, they knew their role.
They had to play exceptional. We had to have an off night. Liverpool could play really good and still lose. Like AC Milan, similarly, you can just lose it when you play well. I think sometimes we overestimate. Like, talking about transition, like Toni Kroos only 32, Casemiro's 30. It's only really Modric.
Yeah.
Modric is 36. Like, you know, Henderson and Milner, if they both start, which is a good chance, are going to be old. You know, it's very similar. So, and obviously Benzema as well. He's what now 34. But like, it's not that much different, really. It's the Modric and Benzema ones. They're kind of the outliers.
Yeah.
Our midfield could have two lads old. You know, it could be. So you don't want to write it off too early. Yeah. I can't wait. It's gonna be such a good game. There's a million storylines, a million of them.
There's one little storyline brewing, and we're going to do some. We've done quite a bit on this already. Maybe you can do this on the build-up show, Steve. But you know, obviously, there's the headline stories. The Salah. There's just it being Real Madrid in the final. There's one I think brewing. There's a bit of a Jordan Henderson one, but I think there's a little Andy Robbo one as well because Chris mentioned this on the Cara podcast about how he's been getting himself into like more and more advanced positions. He actually scores at the weekend. I wonder if he's got an Alan Kennedy moment in him here because he's very much proud. He can't hit a fucking, Kaz ass with a banjo almost every week. But it does.
Maybe it's the post in the FA Cup final, a good position. Exactly. Yeah, a couple at the weekend, obviously.
Diaz helps that, Donny, as well.
Diaz
has free in the room. I mean, don't know. He scored three goals this season. Like, don't over egg. You know,
oh God,
but,
yeah, no,
but,
no.
But yeah, he's been close, like tap-ins almost per se. Yeah. And that goal the other day, the least celebrated goal of all time. Yeah, bless the fella. But
for
like
someone who doesn't score, like he's adored as well.
So this season he scored against Everton, Wolves, and Tottenham, and they've all been in the like right back. You know, a header from a yard out against Spurs, a little tap-ins as well. So it's there for him at the back post. You can see it happening.
But there's stories, you know, again, like Trent's a kid when he plays Real Madrid last time and does really well. This time he's the best in the world in his position. Virgil van Dijk again, him coming back around again to be back on this stage. Andy Robbo doing something. Jordan Henderson, the skipper, said before. Sadio Mane is the man who, and we like forget about it because everyone talks about Kiev, like it was all about Salah getting injured. Sadio Mane grabs our team and does everything in his power to try and get us back into that football match, and it's never talked about or remembered. So again, he's got that.
Matip's got his where he missed it because Degsy Lovren has to play, so Matip misses that one injury. He's got a chance to redeem himself. Yeah,
there's a massive redemption story for Naby Keita here as well. Yep. No one's talking about it. The like of this, he's probably going to start. He's hooked off at half time against Real Madrid last season. It's not the first time. He's really found his feet this season. He gets into some great positions. He's missed loads of them. Is this going to be the game where Naby goes full? Yes, this is why we bought him. He's going to cement his place in Liverpool history.
There is a wonderful like redemption story from last summer where just get rid of him, he's done, whatever. And all of a sudden he's like, no, he's nailed on. He's a Liverpool
Depending on Thiago, he's probably going to play, isn't he?
Yeah. Absolutely. 50-50 as we know at the moment on Thiago. Hopefully that gets closer. Hopefully those percentages weigh more towards him starting as we get closer and closer to kickoff time, but that's where we are at the moment. Before we wrap up, a couple of things. Yes, we've got the draft show, which is going to be over on Red Men Plus. Chris versus D, as mentioned earlier on, picking a draft teams one after another from Liverpool European Cup winning players who played in the finals. It's going to be absolutely one for the ages. I should have had this teed up beforehand. Where did you put the link to the live show reviews? Was it in our group with the three of us?
No.
Was in the Red Men, the actual Red Men group. Awesome, I'll find that in a second. But have we got a particular thought or feeling or strategy
on the draft?
On the draft,
yeah, I know who my first pick is because I know who his is. That's my story. You're going to pick Steven Gerrard first, and then I know I have to respond to that in a certain way. So yeah, I've already got a bit of strategy. I was planning it last night. First of all, the list of players is outrageous. Just again, go back to it. It's unbelievable. It's like, you know, being in a sweet shop with as much money as you've got, you can just have anyone. It's like being Man City in the transfer market. You come back, get whatever you want. I feel like I'm going to be like, oh, I'll have a Phil Thompson there, a little Alan Antonio, okay, sound. Mo Salah, I'll fill your boots. It's going to be amazing. it's more fun than having to pick crap players, for sure.
Definitely. Yes. I had a little look this morning. I jotted mine down in about 4 minutes this morning. Didn't know what pick I was going to be, to be honest. So I'm quite excited to, in the break, work out what I'm going to do.
Sad. Right, I found it. Thank you so much, everyone, turned up to Redmen Live with the Ragamuffins on Saturday.
Awesome.
Absolutely the best. The video's all over our socials and stuff. You can check it out. We'll be doing we did our end of season awards live on the stage. Hopefully that'll get pieced together and that'll be on Redmen Plus next week as well. But we have reviews. We've got one here, it's from Ken Jones, and it's Boss being a Red. I'm knackered now, but we go again tomorrow. It's at an overall average rating of 98%. Thank you so much. An absolutely boss night. What a time to be a Red. Great night of pure joy for any Reds fan. Awesome venue, an amazing night. Up the Reds. Had a bloody lovely time, says our very only one and only Ben Kelly. Thank you so much for that, Ben. Absolutely loads of fun with great people. Incredible. It was a great evening. Overall rating 5 stars there from Ross Mitchell. Just fucking brilliant. There's one. No more to comment after 5-star review. Fucking boss that. Redmen are incredible fans who host this party and the whole place was bouncing. Ragamuffins are incredible too. I will definitely buy tickets for the next end of season party. Top class. Not our words, by the way. Words of people who were actually at the party.
Oh, some of them are my words because I did review it.
Oh, brilliant. fucking boss night. All the Redmen are legends, says Regan. Thank you so much, Joe Conway. Had a great time. Staff was wonderful.
The
truly
last
epic
one's really
night.
Good as well. The last one's really
top
good.
Notch pre-match day celebration. Great night. Awesome night. Unbelievable night. Definitely worth the trip over from Ireland, says Matthew Mullen. Thank you so much.
There's everyone.
And Chris Page said, awesome event.
Awesome friends.
You guys are.
It was an
incredible.
Awesome event.
It was honestly mind blowing, like genuinely mind blowing that like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people turned up to watch us dick around and then watch the Ragamuffins absolutely blow the roof off the place, which was great.
I feel like they carried us a bit, the Raggers, at times.
Well, apart from when you literally carried me, which was a very impressive feat, because he picked me up off the stage. My time had come. My time of your life moment arrived. You Patrick Swayze'd me in a very big way.
I vaulted Ross.
You vaulted Ross.
Off the stage, yeah.
Yeah, because Scott put me on his shoulders, which is fair play to him, by the way, fucking hell. And I was up there for a good 30 seconds, so fair play to him, because I'm a big old unit. And then I saw you weren't getting the love, so I went and carried you. I think maybe people were intimidated by it. You're very tall as well. So
I'm not someone you would think, I'm definitely going to carry him.
Yeah.
At a glance.
No, not the chance.
But I did. Yeah. I did well as well, didn't I?
Chris is one of the few people I've ever got on the shoulders of because he's got a very solid base.
Same as me, yes. I'm way down at the arse, so it's like I've got like a good solid structure. But yeah, I enjoyed it.
Good foundations.
Yeah, literally, I have like a good house.
Right, amazing. Loads more to come from us. I say, do come and check out the draft show. Do come and check out that Jamie Carragher show as well. Both of them will be available in podcast form as well. So if you're just listening to this and you want more podcast news, because we discovered that from the show the weekend, there's people who just literally consume this in audio. They've never seen our faces before. So they heard us and went, oh, we'll go and check out their live show. And they had no idea what we look like, which is mad. It's genuinely so mad. People recognise us from our voices. We've got loads of podcast content for
my Phil
guys.
Thompson thing will be in podcast as well.
Yes. So, if you want to find out more about Paris 81 from the guy who captained the Mighty Reds the last time we beat Real Madrid in a European Cup final in Paris, then do go and check that out. Go to redmenplus.com. Sign up. 2 tiers there. One gets you all the content. If you want to get in our Club Legend Discord chat, you can join that legend here as well. But gents, absolutely phenomenal. This is our last, for me and Chris, this is our last countdown to Real Madrid game before we head off, I believe.
You're doing the build-up show.
Is it Wednesday? Thursday, yeah. So
but you'll be doing stuff in part. You'll be on the... You'll be,
oh, yeah. Well, yeah
there'll be shows coming up
before the point, game. This is our last big countdown studio show before we go. So me and Chris heading to Paris on Thursday. If you do see us around about, come and say hello.
Or you recognise their voices because you never.
I'm the lad who walks down the street doing ASMR.
Chris is 6'4", built like Thor.
fancy going in there for a sandwich.
Okay. Thank you so much. Check us out at the local boulangerie. We'll see you all there.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.